Please be seated. Harvard-educated minister and founder of Bread for the Journey, Wayne Mueller, wrote a popular book with a captivating title, How Then Shall We Live? This question, stated as a title, draws us to the very heart of Pentecost. Scripture tells us that on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled Jesus' followers, and they began speaking about God's acts of power in other languages, which people visiting Jerusalem from regions near and far recognized as their own native tongue. The signs and wonders that occurred in Jerusalem stirred awe and doubt. Rushing wind, tongues of flame, the miracle of speaking in foreign tongues. The confused crowd asks, what does this mean? They even wonder if they were witnessing some drunken spectacle. This is understandable. In fact, many of us still wonder what Pentecost, with all of its commotion, is all about. While Christmas and Easter are widely understood festivals of the church, Pentecost is less familiar, even for those of us here today. And yet it is a primary festival of the church. Pentecost has its roots in the Jewish festival of the same name, during which the Jewish people celebrated the day when the law was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. This law would guide Jewish religious practices and many aspects of Jewish daily life. The law would direct faithful Jews in the right way of living. It would help them understand how then they should live. Being faithful Jews, Jesus' disciples were gathered with other believers to celebrate Pentecost. And there God sends the Holy Spirit to those who acknowledge Jesus as Christ in order that they might share in Christ's Spirit. Now remember, at this point in the story, Jesus has been crucified, has risen, and has ascended to God. Jesus, their friend, their counselor, their guide, he's no longer with them. But through the bestowing of his Spirit, they are made living members of Christ. I wonder, do we take this story so for granted? This story that bears the truth that Christians, that we are living members of the body of Christ. Have we heard those words so many times that we have lost the ability to let them shape us and move us? As the story of the earth-shaking birth of the church on Pentecost lost for us its thunder. If so, then it is time for us to be shaken up a bit. Walter Brueggemann, who is widely considered one of the most influential Old Testament scholars of the last several decades, has written a book titled Prayers for a Privileged People. It's a prayer book meant to jolt the church out of our complacency and urge us to invite God into the deep places of our life to claim us for God's purposes. In this book, he includes a prayer for today. It reads, we hear the story of the wind at Pentecost. Holy wind that dismantles what was. Holy wind that evokes what will be. Holy wind that overrides barriers and causes communication. Holy wind that signals God's rule even among us. We are dazzled. But then, reverting to type, we wonder how to harness the wind, how to manage the wind by our technology, how to turn the wind to our usefulness, how to make ourselves managers of the wind. Partly we do not believe such an odd tale because we are not religious freaks. Partly we resist such a story because it surges beyond our categories. Partly because we had imagined God to be more ordered and reliable than that. So we listen, depart, and return to our ordered existence. We depart only with a little curiosity, but not yielding. We return to how it was before, unconvinced, but wistful, slightly praying for wind, craving for newness, wishing to have it all available to us. We pray toward the wind and wait, unconvinced, but wistful. I pray that today we will depart with more than a little curiosity. I pray that God will exploit our wistful longing, making us expectant and eager to play a part in the emergence of God's hopes and dreams. Because you see, the Pentecost that we hear about today, it wasn't a one-time event. Pentecost didn't just happen once a long, long time ago. There are episodes throughout the church's history that evidence an ongoing Pentecost. The flourishing of the monastic communities in the Middle Ages, the Reformation, the revivals of the first and second awakenings in North America, the great movements of our last century led by Martin Luther King or Oscar Romero or Mother Teresa or Desmond Tutu. Perhaps even the heightened appreciation of the hunger for the divine in our own age is a potential Pentecost in the making. And it's not just through big events or big dreamers that Pentecost happens. Pentecost is still at work through ordinary believers like those of us right here, right now. We too have our visions and our dreams for God's church and God's world. And you better believe that God needs us to move the church and our world a little closer toward God's kingdom. That's why we baptize new Christians today at Pentecost. Because Pentecost isn't over. Pentecost happens for us too, right now. On that first Pentecost, God created a community of believers empowered to share in word and deed the good news of Jesus with the world. And today we will expand the community of believers when we baptize at 10 a.m. Johannes and Wesley and welcome them into the body of Christ to join us in ministering to the world in Christ's name. We discover the answer to the question, how then shall we live? Through the vows that we will soon reaffirm in our baptismal covenant. And we live not with lukewarm hearts, but with hearts set ablaze by God's Holy Spirit. Amen.